The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Mark Duffy.
By golly gosh.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And Duff and Quarters join me in the studio now. G'day, gents.
Good morning. How are you?
No one says wowee like BT.
Wowee. Well,
boy, oh boy.
Eagles fans were saying wowee at Nick Natanui last night. Another club best and fairest.
Second. Back-to-back best and fairest for him. So he's got the two now. I guess, Duff, it's a bit of a signature thing when you've won one, but to win two really puts you amongst the very best.
The only surprise for me was he didn't win by more.
Yeah.
You know, with the season they had, and he was their one stand-up player from go to woe. He was their standout player. I, to be honest with you, what did he win by, 40 votes?
Yeah.
I thought he'd win by 50, 60 or 70.
Who came second?
It was
Dom Sheed,
followed by Gaff, followed by Redden, which is about where we thought things would fall, didn't we?
Yeah, maybe Sheed a little bit higher than I thought. They just had one of those higgledy-piggledy seasons, didn't they? They had a lot of players miss a lot of games with injury, so that... You know, in best and fairest, missing games with injury actually really hurt you. It changes outcomes. But, yeah, like, there's a lot of big names missing from that top 10. You know, there's no Elliot Yeo, obviously.
Shuey.
No Luke Shuey. Jeremy McGovern. You know, all these guys. Josh Kennedy. Jack Darling was high up. You know, Eagles fans, take note.
Yeah, he had a pretty good year, Jack, despite everything. So,
it tells you everything you need to know about their season, doesn't it, looking at that top 10.
Yeah.
But don't you, is it just me, or was it only a few years ago that we looked at Nick Natanui, injury-plagued Nick Natanui, and thought whether or not we would ever see the best of him?
I think he's gotten better. I think the great tribute to Nick is that without the ability to leap tall buildings in a single bound, he's become a better ruckman. He's worked on his craft. He's become better at using his body. He's more grounded, which means he's more accurate with his hits. He's, if anything, a more dominant ruckman now than he was when he was, you know, standing on people's heads.
Instead of relying on his athleticism, it's more technique and strategy.
You know, it reminds me a lot of Dennis Lilly, who came back from that back injury, not necessarily as quick, but used his guile and his experience and was arguably a better bowler. Not quite as lethal, but a better bowler.
Yeah, I think that's a great comparison. Mm. And now let's talk about the Brownlow. So, pretty fantastic. It's going to be over here in Perth. Well, what can you tell us about
the
Duff
actual... Duff and I are just suiting.
Are you going?
We're measuring up for our suits. And are you wearing the classic bow tie, Duff, or the straight black?
No, it's black tie. And to me, black tie means bow tie.
Try and sneak in with a skinny black, but I'll have the bow tie in the pocket just in case.
Just in case. And so what can you tell us about what we can expect from the ceremony?
It's going to be weird because they'll be in separate rooms, the dogs and D's. They won't be able to mix with us common folk. Obviously, COVID-19 protocols, they are about to play in a grand final. So, and if the winner does come out of the dogs or D's, which very well could, there'll be a Zoom media conference. And so it'll be a little bit different, a bit like last year. I think it's been coordinated from Melbourne. But the larger event is here, so it's kind of weird.
So hang on a minute. They're out of quarantine, both teams.
Yeah, dogs will be, yeah.
But they have to be in separate rooms.
They do, apparently, yes.
But they were sitting at the footy the other day in the crowd.
Is there any rhyme or reason to any of this stuff?
It's weird, isn't it? It seems to me it's about optics more than anything else.
It is absolutely about optics, and that's the annoying part. You know, we've done a great job. Yep, we don't have the virus. But when it doesn't make sense, you look at it and go, this is not health. This is
who's
politics.
Is this a WA government thing or is this an AFL thing?
I think this is an AFL thing. They'll have their own separate dining staff and catering staff, the Melbourne and the dogs, I'm told.
Oh, yeah. Will the catering staff be wearing masks?
I assume so.
Yeah.
Oh, they might as well put them in the full hazmat gear.
And so what? And what about you blokes who will be in the main room?
Black tie, white hazmat suit.
Yeah, we'll be amongst. I think there's 800 of us.
It's expensive tickets.
2,000 a ticket. Corporate tables going for 20, I think.
Yeah,
so
wow.
2,000 a ticket. It's a one off, isn't it?
We won't, very special.
Although the Brownlow has moved from time to time, so put on a good show here. I expect we'd probably get it back at some point.
I think it's a great idea for the AFL to move it around. I guess it's, in a normal year where you'd hope to have a lot of players there.
Yep.
Maybe not so easy. Well, the big question, of course, is who you like. And as you throw out some of these, I'm going to give you the Tab Touch odds on them. And so we'll see how we go.
Okay, well, I'm very proud. I picked Christian Petrarca before round one, and I'm staying with him.
Yeah, well, he's 15 to 1, so...
Yep.
pretty good odds.
Do I need to fess up now?
Yeah, go.
Who'd you pick?
I went for a bit of a smoky. I went for the guy to win the Rising Star Brownlow Medal for the first time, Matt Rowell. I don't know if he'll poll at all, but anyway, I think
he'd be at good odds, wouldn't he?
Well, look, I'm still scrolling, and I have not come across his name yet.
Stop! You won't see him. My logic tells me Clayton Oliver wins this Brownlow, but if you want a smoky at good value, you can tell us the odds. I think Jack Steele at St Kilda, equal third last year. He does poll, and he had a really good year this year. They won 10 games, St Kilda. Won't have any votes stolen off him, or not too many. And he did play well in their losses as well. So yeah. I might have a sneaky
little one. Well, he's $6.50, so yeah. Worth a tenner. Yeah. And Ollie Wines, who's the outright favourite, 3-1.
I'm not sure he kicks enough goals. Yeah. And the other thing is that Travis Boak, who's had another very good season, is a vote catcher. Travis Boak, I think, finished second to Lachie Neale last year. I think watch out for Bontempelli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bontempelli will poll big.
Well, they're the three, really. Ollie Wines, Clayton Oliver and Bontempelli are both – they're all about the same, around about that $3. And then it just really blows out from there. Like, you'd have to say that Petrarca is probably the last of the – you know, according to the bookies, the fancies at 15-1. Then you're talking about Sam Walsh at 23, and it goes up from
he'll,
there.
He'll
quickly.
Poll. Yeah. He'll poll because, a bit like Quarter said about Jack Steele, there'll be a lot of games where Sam Walsh was the best Carlton player with the length of the Flemington Strait to the second best Carlton player. He won't have a lot of blokes taking
votes. If he doesn't win it this year, lock it in. Sam Walsh will win a Brownlow at some point.
Because of the nature of it, and it's over so many games, and you can kind of get a good sense for who is the best on the paddock in each game, is it pretty impossible for there to be an absolute surprise dark horse?
I think it's now it's become known as the midfielder's medal, hasn't it? Yeah. So for me, I guess it's a bit disappointing. I'd love a player like Max Gawn to win the Brownlow. He might steal votes too from Oliver and Petrarca.
Well, he's the bookies don't like him. 150-1.
Yeah. Well, that'd be history. They'd look at the history of Ruckman in the Brownlow. I think Adam Goods won one kind of like as a pseudo Ruckman in 2003. Before that, you have to go back to Scotty Wine.
92, yeah.
And Jimmy Steins in 91. Before. And even Jimmy Steins played like a running Ruckman. He was kind of like a ruck runner.
Yeah, I reckon Scotty Wine's the last of the true stereotypical ruckman, isn't he? Played that ruckman's role, so he's the last one, and it was the Doggies.
Yeah, well, what a spectacle it's going to be having the Brownlow here in Perth. And now, going forwards towards the grand final, there's going to be so many stories that are unearthed. Let's talk about Nathan Jones.
You know, it's true that if every single story had a fairy tale finish, there would be no such thing as a fairy tale, would there? It doesn't work. It doesn't happen for everyone. I felt really sorry for him, you know, watching the preliminary final win, and then he was great, got around his players. But then I guess you go home and made it within, cut it very fine, but was there for the birth of his twins. So, you know what? In terms of the journey of life, he's won Lotto, so it's just a grand final at the end of the day when you talk about the twins he's now got.
I think you have to remind yourself, they're not curing cancer, they're not achieving peace in the Middle East, they're playing football.
Gee, I thought Bob Murphy was a couple of years ago.
the birth of children outstrips winning a grand final any day.
It does.
You know, there is life and death, and that is literally life. So he's had a big win, and I think Nathan Jones will go happily into that wild yonder, knowing that he left it all out there.
Yeah,
you know, he couldn't have done any more to achieve his dream. He served his club as well as anyone could reasonably expect a person to serve their club. He stayed with them through their dark times, and I think he can walk away very proud.
Yep, yeah. And I think we'll hear more of stories like that, you know, when we start talking about selection in the next week or so.
Just the last Norm Smith medalist for the Dogs play, Jason Johannesson. That's going to be a big story the next week.
Yeah, and so let's talk about the grand final teams. Where are they at the moment? What are they up to? And what can we expect to see as, you know, this run-up to the grand final unfolds?
I reckon all eyes on Saturday, and we're not sure, we're just talking before we went on air, cause no, we're not sure where it's going to be, but the Melbourne match simulation on Saturday will be fairly robust, I would suggest. They've played one game in 28 days, whereas the Doggies need the rest. Melbourne need to do some hard yards between now and the grand final. So how they do that, they're going to have to push the envelope a little bit, and they're going to have to risk an injury to do it.
Interestingly, Lee Matthews, who's been there many times, he said already, if you do cop an injury by having a full-on match to him, it's worth it because that's just the price you pay. They need to have it. Don't want to be going into that. They really need
a bit undercooked. They look pretty good against Geelong, though.
Yeah, but you got to remember, so they play... was it Brisbane in the qualifying final? They beat them and handled them really easily. And then they have the week off. Then they play Geelong, absolutely obliterated them. Then they have another week off. So that's one game in 28 days. So they need some hard yards.
Conversely, it has not fallen at a better time for the Dogs. They've done the really hard yards, but now they've got the reward, a week break before the grand final. So it's just fallen.
Yeah, they'll be stoked just to be in one spot for a few days.
Oh, yeah.
After that travel.
Done it really, really well, the Dogs. I think we've got the grand final that we really wanted in terms of... I actually do think it's going to be a close grand final, at least for three quarters. I think we're going to have two teams that are midfield bulls going at each other, and they've just got so many forward lines, defences. It's so many strategies floating around. It's going to be fascinating.
And plenty for you blokes to talk about. You're roping in your good mate Mark Reddings for a taping of the podcast.
Jumping out of here and into the podcast.
Yeah.
Straight off this morning. So.
And then running off to Optus Stadium to talk to the big kahuna, Gillon McLachlan.
Wow.
He's doing a presser this morning.
So he's coming out of quarantine.
We might ask him for a grand final in Perth every second year, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Either this one's looks shaping up to be pretty awesome.
I think he might be anticipating that question, Duff. I think he's had his 2 weeks in quarantine thinking about that.
I've already got the answer written down. No.
Well, thanks, fellas. We'll look out for that story on Gil McLachlan online in the paper tomorrow. And, of course, we can look out for your podcast wherever you get your podcasts.